Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called Your World Today. I'm Ijaz Khan and I'll be with you inshallah right up until the Maghrib break inshallah. Mawlana Habib Obat will thereafter be filling in for Mufti Musaji till about 8 o'clock today. With the short amount of time we have before heading into the Maghrib break, it's time to head straight into our first interview. And for that, we'll be crossing over to the UK, speaking to Angus Kennedy. Just to give you some background to the story, British scientists claim to have found a way of making chocolate more waistline friendly with the help of a tiny marine organism. They discovered that a green algae, similar to that which caused scum to form on ponds, produced a sugar-like chemical to protect it from harm. When refined into a white powder, the substance can be used to sweeten products without adding calories. Now joining us to help us understand this new development is Angus Kennedy. He's the editor of the long-standing journal Kennedy's Confection and currently owner of Kennedy's Publications. He is a real-life Willy Wonka, and he joins us now live from the UK. Good afternoon and welcome to the program, Angus.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here, Ijaz. And as you say, there's an awful lot of sweet things going on, or not, however you want to look at it.
Of course, and that's the dangerous thing. I'm just reading here, Angus. A sugar substitute made from algae. It sounds revolting, really. Give us the details of this development.
I know, yeah. It's been in the papers, as you quite rightly spotted, Ijaz. It's a kind of ongoing thing. I've actually been to the plant in France that makes this algae. It's very clever stuff. They make it in these giant pots. I mean, they're absolutely enormous. Mm. This is one of the largest biochemical plants in Europe, and they think it's going to be the next big thing for sweeteners. But if you look at algae, it's only one of several. Double-digit figures for the ways you can sweeten a product. So algae is just one of many, many ways you can sweeten products and food products.
Now, before we get more into this, you know, you were telling me earlier about groups in America that eat sugary things like like rebels. Is this true, and why are they doing it?
Well, I think, you know, it's like, you know when you're at school and you're just fed up with people saying, don't do this, don't do that, you know, don't climb over the wall because you're not, you know, you're not allowed, but they don't give you a good enough reason. Well, all industries have these sort of backlash people that say, you mustn't do this, you mustn't eat that, you mustn't run five times a day, you'll hurt your knees, you mustn't drink, you mustn't smoke. But okay, fair enough. But, however, I think after human beings have been told not to do something for so long, they start getting fed up. And this is exactly what's happening. And I love this story. There's out in the US, you've got special websites and things where people are sort of saying, like, eatwhatiwant.com and, you know, I'll eat whenever I like and I won't be told. And the thing about sugar, Ijaz, is it's a statement of liberation, and I know it's a sweetener and it's very high carbohydrate, but if you eat sugar and you eat confectionery, you're telling everyone, no, I'll eat it anyway, it's my choice. And I think this is really a big issue. It's about your consumer having a choice and not being told all the time by granny states you can and you can't eat that. And I think that's great. It's a statement of saying, I will eat what I want, and it's my life, Ijaz. I think that's great.
I hope our fitness and wellness expert is not listening at this moment, because I'm pretty sure he'll be cringing. You know, Angus, chocolate eaters are so much more friendlier than their sugar-free counterparts. Why is that so?
That's an amazing statement. Yeah, I've never heard it like that. Well, you see, the thing is, I'll tell you something really interesting. I went on a sugar-free diet from Christmas to Easter. I thought, okay, let's check it out. Let's see what it's like. And what's it like not to eat sugar? So I've done it. I think it's like everything. You can't really comment on anything unless you've been in the camp yourself, can you? And I sort of felt I had a kind of slight increase in my taste sensation and so on. But actually not being able to have my regular, you know, cocoa content, 70%, Ghana chocolate, whatever it is, at 10 o'clock in the evening with my coffee, was starting to think, well, I actually want this, and I'm not fat. I go to the gym, like, you know, I look after myself. I'm not, you know, I haven't got a problem. So I started to think, well, Yes, I can understand totally what people would want to cut their sugar intake down, but do they really want to take all the sugar out of their diet? In which case, that's going to be very difficult, because 80% of all sugar, or all products sold, I don't know about in other countries, but I do know that in the UK, if you went to a supermarket and filled up your supermarket trolley, 80% of all your products are going to have sugar in them. And that's a tough thing to deal with, you know. And I'm totally in agreement with people saying there's too much sugar in food. My kids, I've got five kids, right? What? So breakfast time, we got these things called, I won't quote the supplier, but they're kind of chocolate wheaty things, you know, and you pour milk on them. Have you seen those?
Yes, it's quite popular here in South Africa as well.
Yeah, so cocoa, you know, cocoa pop, this type of thing. Mm. Now, the sugar content in that is 28%. Wow. Now, is that right? You know, your kids, it's breakfast, it's mealtime. Now, I agree that I think there are areas where, you know, if a product comes over a certain percentage in sugar, we should be saying, we can't really call this a food. We've got to call it something else, because it's actually verging on being a confectionery. So that's why I think there's a lot of uproar about sugar. But it's really a labeling issue as well.
Now, Angus, a while back I read that there's a chocolate shortage in the future looming. Now, can you put our minds at ease and let us know we're going to be okay?
Yeah, well, this was a really interesting story. This came out in 2012, and it was leaked out to, I think it was a Daily Star, and it was just after that, it just went totally viral. Now, what happened was that you get these hypothetical situations. Mm. What they were saying was the Chinese actually eat two grams a year of sugar. Yeah. The Indian market, by the way, is huge, and potentially as well. So, and also South Africa and Nigeria, you've got massive potential markets. Now, what they're saying is these markets are growing at about 17% a year. Now, the cocoa production is not growing per year. So, in fact, you know, they're also saying that with crops and certain issues coming in and the huge demand, that if this demand carries on, we would need an area the size of the Ivory Coast to meet the extra demand in cocoa. And that is a current issue at the moment. Definitely a current issue, yes. Okay. We're not going to run out, but sure. I don't know if you've noticed in your shop, your products are a little bit smaller.
Smaller, yes. Noticed it.
And that's like well documented, and they're calling it shrinkflation. But actually, it makes chocolate products highly profitable, because you're getting less chocolate, aren't you, really? So I guess we are eating less without really knowing it.
Mm. Now, you're a chocolate expert, so I think I'm going to throw this question to you. I'm not a fan of dark chocolate, except midnight mint variety. Now, why does dark chocolate make me feel sleepy, Angus?
Well, it's got something called endorphins in it. So the cocoa bean is actually a very complex product, but it's actually got thousands of different types of properties, which they've only discovered, they're saying, about 25% of the cocoa beans. So it has a natural stimulant in there that really does relax you. So, but at the same time, it has a little bit of caffeine, so it wakes you up a little bit too. So it kind of does both. It makes you highly aware of yourself being relaxed. And actually, if you think about it, chocolate's a bit like ice cream. You know, when you're a kid and you're taken to the park or something, hey, son, have an ice cream. Yeah. It's a kind of, you're having chocolate at a time that you're celebrating or feeling good, or so it's always being associated with being feeling good and rewarding yourself. So I'm not surprised that people are seriously into chocolate. In fact, they're so into it that in the US, it's voted that 90% of all American citizens have voted it as their favorite product or flavor. So that's quite incredible. So chocolate, you know, it's one of those products where I say to myself, well, okay, I'm going to have to eat chocolate. So what I do is I stay healthy so I can eat chocolate, but I don't eat chocolate to stay healthy.
Ah, some wise words there, Angus.
And
yes, coming back to that algae story, how soon before there's mass rollouts of this algae sugar?
Well, you know, I think this is really interesting, Ejaz, because, you know, they're trying to sweeten, they can sweeten a product with, like, I won't bore your listeners too much, because this is, like, kind of boring stuff. Latinos, maltitol, xylitol, you know all these things?
Yes, yes.
They've also got stevia, which is like a leaf that they grow and they bung that into and sweeten. But algae is actually a very environmentally friendly product to make. It doesn't take loads of field to grow. You don't have to chop down any rainforest or anything. So actually, it's quite a clever idea. And it's made in these huge, huge vats in factories, and it literally grows itself, so you hardly need to feed it. And it's got some really, really interesting properties. I think, don't whales live on, virtually on, I don't know, but I mean, some huge animals live on algae alone, don't they? So it's got to have something in it. So I think it's an excellent idea, but whether or not people are going to, when you get the Daily Mail saying, hey, we're going to be eating pond scrapings in our chocolate, you know.
Doesn't sound too appetizing.
Yeah, it's not the same as like raspberry and walnut note of inclusions, is it? You know what I mean? So I think this algae thing, it like everything else, it's a development, but I think it's a sure sign that the world is waking up to the fact that sugar, actually, we shouldn't be eating so much. I think we all agree,
yes,
that the Americans eat 170 pounds of sugar in a year. Now, that's massive. That's 34 bags. Now, if we go back to 1920, that was 4 pounds. So just think about that. That's amazing. So we've gone from 4 pounds, which is what, a bag of sugar, to 170 pounds in about 100 years. So I think that's astonishing, the increase in sugar consumption. But, you know, it's really something.
It is indeed. Now, finally, Angus, you know, you've been quoted as saying that you don't think that sugar will go away because people enjoy it too much. Is sugar and sweetness here to stay?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, as Churchill says, you know, or said, you can't argue with the truth. The truth is that people like sugar. And whether or not everyone else likes it or not, you find, you know, my kids at school, I've got five kids, I pick them up from school. What is the harm in giving them a bit of chocolate on the way? They've had a bad day at school, they've got tons of homework, and it cheers them up, and they're not eating too much. So, fine, yes, I agree. I think what you said, Ada, is really, really interesting. People that are enjoying their food are happier people. And that's really what it's all about. You enjoy your food. You know every now and then, oops, that was a little bit too much. But, you know, if we're very, not careful, but if we're, you know, balanced enough to eat what we want when we want, I can't see there being a problem. But sugar, it's true. I've tried the sugar-free chocolates. They do taste different. They really do. So I have to say that sugar is enjoyable, and I like it.
And know, I do too.
That's the end of it. You know, I can't say anything else but that.
In our home as well, after a meal, it's like almost compulsory to have a small piece of chocolate as well.
Yeah, you know, the oldest confectionery in the world is like a gelatin Turkish delight. And I believe this is the Egyptians that invented this. You know, it's gone back tens of thousands of years. So, I mean, it's kind of like saying, you know, that we don't want to drink water or we don't want to. So I think, you know, we've had sugar in our diets for a very, very long time. But obviously we haven't had so much. So I think for some people to turn around and say we mustn't eat any more sugar, full stop, is going to be a commendable thing to say. But it's in practice, it's going to be very difficult to stop that.
To end off, Angus, if you enjoy your chocolate, then go ahead. But just work it off, like you said. You know, if you're jamming, so you're allowing for that space for that chocolate, so you should be fine.
Yes, yeah, and I think, you know, that's a really, really important thing. I mean, there are more studies before I go, but I think you'll find really interesting, EJ. They're doing studies, and they had, like, I think, like 50 rats in one bucket and 50 rats in another bucket.
Wow.
And they fed some of the rats cocaine and some of them sugar. And, of course, and then they said, oh, the rats prefer sugar, so the sugar must be four times more addictive
powerful
than cocaine. But I don't know about you, but if I was a rat, I'd probably want to have some sugar. It tastes a lot better at the beginning. But you know, they're coming up with this stuff all the time to dispromote sugar in the most clever ways. So, you know, it's a very, very interesting battle. I'm not on either side of the fence. I like my sugar. I've gone sugar-free. But like everyone, you know, unless you don't have something, you don't realize what it really tastes like.
Indeed. Angus Kennedy, editor of the long-standing journal Kennedy's Confection and currently owner of Kennedy's Publications and one we will refer to as the real life Willy Wonka. We thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ejaz. Pleasure.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.